This show is brought to you by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. This show is also sponsored by NatureBox, where you can order great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Snack smarter in the new year with healthy and delicious treats like French Toast Granola. Support this podcast and get 50% off of your first order. Go to naturebox.com and use promo code Joey. That's naturebox.com, use promo code Joey. And thank you to nailedatlife.com for all of the oil and wax smokers out there. They have the premier vapor pen on the market. Use promo code Joey Diaz and they're going to save you an additional 20% off.
Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. Crank that motherfucker, Lee. It's Wednesday. Oh shit. April 16th. If you didn't pay your taxes, fuck them. You're going to jail. Maybe not now. In a year or two. Who gives a fuck? What? Man. Do it, Lee. Let me see the wiggle, cocksucker. Wednesday, April 16th. Like a bad motherfucker. Welcome to Passover, you Jew cocksuckers. It's over. Oh, shit.
Did you see the black hooker yesterday or something?
I didn't see no black hooker. I'm ready to rock today. And I hope you too are. You motherfuckers better be ready because it's the day after taxes. Who gives a fuck? Get up, eat your oatmeal, do some jumping jacks. They ain't fucking around out there. I don't know why you're giggling about. Let's do this shit. Cricket League. Oh, shit. Oh, what?
We need to get like a strobe light in the new office.
Oh, shit. I've been waiting. Ooh.
A little bartender in there.
Oh shit, giggly. Tell me if you like it. Oh, oh shit. I can't even take it no more. I'm gonna have to go home and fucking stab my wife. Hit it! What's the story, Lee? You didn't even wiggle for me and nothing no more. You didn't wiggle, you're slipping, cocksucker.
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Wednesday, April 16th, the day the devil and everybody else was buried at sea. We don't give a fuck. It's a church of what's happening now. My main man, Lee Syatt, Joey Diaz, hoping you guys are having a great day, starting the day off on a beautiful foot. What up? What up?
What up, cocksucker?
What up? How many times did I call you last night and told
18
you?
18 times.
I was stoned to the fucking gazilda highs.
Coming like night. Every 45 minutes, you're like, what's up, dog? What brownie you want tomorrow?
Oh, my God. I was so fucking high. There was one point I was talking to you. I could see my wife looking at me. And I hung up again. I'm like, I hope he doesn't come over because I am fucking high to the gills. I can't have another gloomy bed.
Anyone else, I would come over because you must have said 18,000 times, come over before the Joshua podcast, come over after, we're going to hang out, we're going to go get a milkshake. And I'm like, he does not want me to come over there at all. One of these days I'm going to end up coming stoned. Over.
Hey, you eat one of these yet?
No.
You want to be a piece of chocolate?
I'm all set, man.
No. Don't try. It's Passover. You got to eat a fucking edible for the fallen Jews. You know what I'm saying? Get it together. I don't want to hear no stories. Eat the blue one. What color you got in there?
I got two more blues.
There you go. You got to eat one more. We'll split one more. We got fucked up today. It's Wednesday.
I was fucked up Monday.
You weren't fucked up.
These are good, actually. Blue raspberry's good. Okay.
You weren't fucked up.
Yes, I was.
You let yourself get... How many times I got to tell you about this? You let the fucking weed conquer you.
Well, of course.
You got to conquer it. You got to look it in the eye and say, you ain't doing dick to me, cocksucker. Look how good that is. Yummy for your tummy. It's like yo gabba gabba. Yo yummy. Yo yummy. It's a party in your tummy. Gummy yummy in your tummy. You see what I'm saying? Look how nice. Look at that smile. Last time you got a smile like that, you checked your bank account. That's the last time I seen you smile like that. You checked your balance. Everything was copacetic. Nobody fucking stole you a couple dollars. You know what I'm saying? Who loves you, Lisa? Who takes care of you like the Cuban? Nobody, cocksucker.
The Cuban.
You're out here solo, walking around. Look at you. Who's better than you?
That actually, if that wasn't going to fuck me up in about 20 minutes, that was actually pretty delicious. So,
well, then we got another one. You can't walk on one leg.
Yes, you can't. You absolutely cannot walk on one leg. There's so many examples of people walking on one leg.
That's bullshit. Even the Pattaya.
The Pistorius guy, he killed a guy with no legs, so I'm fine.
No, he has a hook. He's got the fucking hook. He's got the
high
life.
He's got one of those high life hooks.
You ever see high life?
Yeah.
They got those little fucking hooks. Look at Lee. He knows about high life.
He has the worst fucking excuse ever.
Oh, no. He's crying like a fucking pussy. The poor guy. Yeah. Why would he shoot her? I don't get it. What was the point of him shooting her? She was hot.
He must have been an asshole. Like, everything they're saying is that he was just a jerk to
her. Right, but he was like really paranoid. He always carried a weapon, supposedly. You know, that's why you never carry weapons. Lee, I just went to 7-Eleven before I came in. The guy was like, hey, man, I was here the day you tried to run that guy over with the car. He came in here yelling and screaming. I go, you know, man, he was saying shit to my fucking wife. And it was just one of those days not to get in front of me with a car. You know, maybe today I'm Christian-like, but last week I wasn't that fucking Christian-like. Oh. So how was your day yesterday? What did you do yesterday, Lee?
Yesterday was fine. I just had the Josh Wolf podcast. And
what'd you do for Passover? Did you eat anything good? You didn't call home?
I called home. Actually, my mom was getting pissed off. I didn't call her. I didn't call during the Seder. But no, Passover is the worst Jewish holiday for food. It's disgusting.
Why? What do they serve you?
Matzah, which is gross.
Tremendous.
And non-Jews love it, but it's worse than a saltine.
Right.
They got gefilte fish, which is one piece is okay, but you have to smother it with horseradish.
Delicious.
And it's okay for one piece. They have chopped liver.
That's disgusting.
And then fucking, it's just like...
And now what do you do at the Seder? Do you sit around? Do you eat? Do you just tell jokes?
No, it's like, well, my family's were short. But it can be like 5 or 6 hours of singing
songs. And say there's another word for dinner.
Kind of. I don't know exactly what it means, but it's a dinner. But you tell the story of Passover, and you sing songs, and you tell prayers and stuff. And
what song do you sing?
Dayenu.
Do you remember? Blast one.
Dayenu, I do know. Dayenu, 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 Dayenu.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
And then what's the story of Passover? Drop it on us.
It's just that the Jews were...
Hold on. Put some music. Put some background music on. Tell us the story.
An Israeli national anthem?
Not the Israeli national. Just look for Jew music and
For everyone listening, I'm typing Jew music.
Jew music? And let's see what happens.
Play the first thing that comes up.
Tell us the story of Passover. There you go. Tell us the story of Passover.
So the Jews, they were slaves in Egypt, and Moses went out into the land, right? And he saw a burning bush, and God talked to him. And he went to the... this is hysterical. He went to the Pharaoh, and he's like, let my people go. And they went through the 10 plagues, and then after the 10 plagues, Pharaoh finally said yes.
How long did 10 plagues take?
I have no idea, dude.
You're going to find that out for the people at home. They don't know this shit. You're
I don't think there's a time, but... obviously there was a time. So after the 10 plagues, the Jews left. But then the Egyptians were like, fuck, no, we want those goddamn Jews. So they chased him. They got to the sea. Moses parted the sea. The Jews walked through, and then the Egyptians died. And then they walked Israel.
And that's it. They were freed.
They were freed.
And they were always different after that. They were never the same after that. And what year was this?
I don't know.
This before Christ or after
Probably
Christ?
Probably before Christ.
Before Christ. Hey, dog. I'm just learning here myself. I'm sure the people at home are sitting there going, what the fuck is Passover? We don't know what the fuck Passover is.
It's the worst Jewish holiday.
And how long does it last?
A week.
A week. And I wanted to eat an edible a day for Passover, and you fucking turned me down. You'd rather eat gefilte fish and fucking liver, cocksucker. How about we go into the... What's the crackers called?
Matzah.
How about we go into the matzah...
disgusting.
THC matzah business.
Ugh. We'll
make kosher matzah. Are you fucking kidding me? Who gives a fuck? We'll just go to Jewish parties and make them eat it. They won't know what they're eating.
We'll
tell them it's gluten-free. They'll fucking be on fire, those Jews.
Matzah is the worst tasting fucking thing.
I like them. I don't know.
You like matzah?
I like matzah.
Oh, it's so
I like
dry.
The matzah ball soup. I like all that stuff. You know, it's just...
How can you like it? With your mother making such delicious Cuban food and all your neighbors making Italian food, matzah is the most bland...
It's culture, bro. You learn from people's culture when you eat their food. And that's, you know... I may not like hummus, but I like kebabs. I used to go to Al Wazir all the time. You ever go to Al Wazir? You ever call Al Wazir? You call the answer to the phone. Al Wazir. Where'd he go? He tortured that motherfucker. Where's Al, cocksucker?
But, no, there's other great... I mean, Jews make great food, but it's just this one's a dud.
I like the cabbages.
Cabbages?
Don't they make, like, some type of... When I worked for those guys in Long Island, they made something that looked fucking disgusting. It looked just disgusting, but it was just... It was something with meat...
Maybe stuffed cabbage, I guess?
Stuffed cabbage, something, but they call it something different. Ari makes that soup. What's the thick Jewish soup with all the meat in it that they eat during fucking the cold winters? And I don't know.
Borscht?
Borscht. That shit.
That's Russian shit.
That shit's fucking good, too. Yeah. God damn. Yeah. Listen, man,
It's a beautiful culture.
It's a beautiful culture.
Yeah. I'm not... The thing, the reason I'm not a fan of it is the Orthodox people, and it seems to be this way for any religion, the really intense Orthodox people want to push it on you.
Okay.
And the everyday people couldn't care less. And then I just... For me, I don't say I'm... what is it called? I'm agnostic. I'm not atheist. I don't say that. When I was younger, I would say atheist. Now it's like... There's always a chance there's something, so I don't want to seem like an asshole saying. But if I had to guess, everything's pointing to there not being a God. But you never know.
You don't think there's something stronger out there? Except for Martian. I mean, not...
It just doesn't make sense
to me. Who took that fucking plane?
Huh? The guy had his cell phone on. It was a Malaysian...
I'm teasing you, but the thing that... I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about here. You got me all confused.
It's starting early, folks.
You got me all confused with this fucking Jewish talk. No, but it's... Listen, man, I don't like every food from every fucking culture. I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel that way, that you like some stuff and other stuff looks weird to you. You know, when I watch that Bizarre Foods...
Oh, yeah, no, that
shit's too fucking crazy for me. But there's some foods I'll give a whack to. You know, I used to eat calves brains when I was a kid. Sliced calves brains, oof, breaded... And deep fried.
That's tough.
With lemon on it, late night. God damn.
Well, did they not tell you it was calf's brain first?
The first time they told me. Then I tasted them and they were delicious. My mom used to make tongue with black beans and rice. It's delicious. And then she told me afterward, delicious.
I wouldn't order it now. Like we were at this taco place.
Cabeza
and they have cabeza and lengua. And I'm like, ooh, that's too much for me.
That's too much for you. Yeah, it's too much for something. Like, I can't eat lamb.
Really?
I can't eat lamb.
Lamb is delicious.
As much as I tried, because I feel guilty.
Really?
And it feels
weird.
What
about veal?
Don't like veal either. Okay. I can't. One of the best tasting dishes in the world to me is veal scallopini. I fucking avoid it like the plague. Okay. Just can't do it. I can't eat nothing gamey. I'd have a hard time in other countries.
Okay.
But I like noodle dishes. Like, I like Polish food. I like a little bit of everything. You know, I like, believe it or not, I like cabbage, stuffed cabbages. I like borscht. I like, you know, I don't like how it smells when you're cooking it. But once you're eating it, it's fucking delicious. There's a lot of stuff I don't fucking like. I don't like hummus, but I like the kebabs. I like the chicken alwazia makes with the fucking salad, yeah, with the salad dressing. I like, me and D'Agostino went for Japanese food the other day. You know, and we go for it Americanized. I'm sure it's completely different when you go to somebody's country and you eat their fucking food in their country, and, you know, then you hear the goat getting stabbed in the back and it tastes completely fucking different, you know. That would be fucking tremendous if you heard a goat getting stabbed in the back. We were talking yesterday. I was talking to D'Agostino the other day, and he was telling me that, we were talking about family.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me, he goes, Lee doesn't get along with his brother, you know, too much. It's really weird. He goes, because he goes, I felt bad that he doesn't get along with his sister or something.
Okay.
We're talking. He goes, you know, I don't feel that bad. Look at Lee. You don't get along with your brother at all.
We've always been very different. Like we always butted heads.
When you were kids, you weren't buddies.
Not really. It wasn't this bad. And then we had a family issue that it kind of turned everything over when I moved out here. D'Agostino and I have talked about it, and it doesn't really bother me to be honest. My mom always says that in the end, it's only going to be you and him. And I see that, and I would prefer if it wasn't like this. But some people, it's just, you're not going to click with. In a couple of weeks, I'm going back to Boston for 2 days, because next year, I'm taking my mom to Israel for her 60th birthday with him. So maybe that trip could bring us closer together. But up until now, it's just, we just have it. It's not like I would hurt him or anything, but... We just don't get up. We don't mesh.
When was the last time you saw him?
Saw him? A couple years ago, probably. Because he wasn't home this past...
He didn't go home for Christmas?
He was taking a train cross country. That's exactly the response you should have. I don't know why.
Why was he by himself with a girl?
By himself. He finished school and... Instead of driving, he just wanted to visit his friends, and he found a good deal on a train, but it was a fucking long time on a goddamn train.
It's a long fucking time on a train, bro.
Yeah.
If you've noticed, I love planes, trains, and automobiles. That's one of my all-time favorite movies, but I don't fuck with trains, man. I just fucking don't.
No.
I just really don't fuck with trains, because I did it one time from Miami to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It was a nightmare.
Ooh, yeah.
It was a real fucking nightmare.
He seemed to like it, and it's just and you asked me yesterday. He's a personal trainer, and fucking, he wrote on my Facebook wall a month or two ago. It was like your people have found me and are calling me the Flying Jew on my YouTube videos. I said okay, and then I find out from my mom that he's in this competition for best new trainer or whatever through Men's Fitness or something like that. And he texts me on a Friday night when I'm with Paulo, can you tweet this? And I said, I didn't respond, but I was with Paulo, and I was like, okay, I'll tweet it on Monday because no one's really on Twitter on the weekend. And in like 3 hours, I was getting these angry texts, how come you don't do anything for me? And I'm like, well, first of all, we haven't talked for like a year. And now that you find out that I have a few people on Twitter, you're going to ask me, and you get mad that I don't respond right away. And it's just, He's always been very manipulative, and I don't like that feeling. So I was like, you know what, man, I was going to do it, but I not talking for a couple of years, and the only reason you're contacting me is because of this. That's not really how I want to do it. So you know what, it is a shame, because my mom has a sister who she doesn't really get along with, but it's, I don't know, for, I mean... it's not by choice, but you don't really have contact with your sister. Does it? Do you wish you did? Or
oh yeah. I just wrote her a letter again. You know, I've been writing her letters, and it's tough because I don't write great Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's not the content; it's the energy I'm sending her. You know, I didn't talk to my sister not because we didn't get along, but because there was no lines of communication for us.
Well, were you mad at her that she chose to stay in Cuba?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I didn't even think like that. When it's amazing when I hooked up with my family about 3 years ago. We all went out to dinner, my cousins. And then the truth started coming out. They were like, can we talk to you about something? You know, what were you thinking when your mother died? You know, why didn't you contact us? And I'm like, let me talk to you guys about something. I don't know if this has dawned on you. Do you motherfuckers know what runs through a child's mind when he's 15 and his mother dies? He goes for the immediate. You motherfuckers weren't even on the continent.
Yeah.
You know? You guys were in fucking Cuba. What did you want me to do? To keep in touch with you? How? Through what means? Through what angles? I didn't have any numbers. You know? So I'm not going to lie to you guys. And I'm going to tell you that, yeah, maybe I slipped by not contacting you. I didn't have a number to contact you. I had gone to war with my uncle. I had so many other things on my mind after my mother died when I was 15. That, you know... It wasn't even a thought process. I was just trying to fucking survive.
Mm-hmm.
I was just trying to survive and overcome what just happened, you know, just on a daily basis and be as normal as can be. You know, I was already reaching for things that were gone. I was trying to get, you know, my dad's life insurance policy. I was trying to do all these things, and I was getting snubbed. Those people weren't going to help the cause. What were they going to do for me 3,000 miles away? Where were they going to go? They're in Cuba. What are they gonna do?
Yeah.
So it was very weird. With my sister, I think she expected more, and I told her the same. I go, listen, my mom died. I didn't know how to get a hold of you, you know. And I explained to her when I went to dinner with my one uncle, the uncle that was on the podcast, his brother, my mother's brother, different brother.
Mm-hmm.
I explained to him that, you know, the death of my sister had her own doubts because my sister was left in Cuba. How would you feel?
Yeah.
And we're in New York rocking and rolling, and my mom sending money and talking to her, but it wasn't the same. And my mom's goal was to get her out of Cuba all those years. My mom spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to get her out. Couldn't get her out. This was way before 79. And it's just ironic that my mother died November of 79, and maybe a month later, they opened up fucking Cuba. You know, that was Marielito. That was that one. That was where Tony Montana came. In 80.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there's been a couple. There's been the big embargo. They call them different names. Those are Marielitos. These that came on truck tires. So they call those Balseros. That's the truck, the tube.
Oh, okay.
To a truck tire. Una balsa. So, do you know, they have different names for the different invasions of the Cuban world, you know. I lived with a guilt about my sister for years, but... Guilt doesn't pay the rent.
Right.
Guilt doesn't feed the fucking cats. Guilt doesn't. I moved on. I am guilt-ridden. You know, I'm guilt-ridden about my sister. I'm guilt-ridden about my daughter. Again, what do you want me to do, sit here and play a fucking ukulele and sing fucking Christian songs and pain, I can't do it. You have to move forward as a man. Mm-hmm. You have to move forward. You embrace what's going on. You work out to see if there's a plan for you. And if not, you figure out how to live with this thing that's going on. Really interesting yesterday. I went to jiu-jitsu yesterday. We didn't do a podcast, so I had the family all day. So I did some writing in the morning. I got up like at 4 and I got some writing in. I did some jiu-jitsu. We went to lunch. I took them to I went to acupuncture, and then I picked them up and went to look at some offices. We met with you. And then we went and picked up the patches. Patches are fucking gorgeous. And then we just went to a park. You know, we just went to a park with what we usually do, and she was trying to steal some kids' the skateboard with the handle on it. It's not a tricycle.
Scooter.
A scooter. And we went home, and, you know, we were fucking around, and everything was great. And I noticed at the end of the night how she dove on her mother. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mercy's very tight with me, but she's tight with the mom, you know, obviously. And it was really weird that she got on top of, we were watching Wally Kazam, whatever that show is, fucking tremendous. She loves Wally Kazam. And she jumped on top of my wife and was holding her. And I was like 4 feet away, and I'm looking at my daughter, I'm looking at my wife, and I'm thinking, look at that love. You know, she just jumped. She's 15 months old. She has 15 months of trust.
Yeah.
And she just jumped into my wife's arms. You know, that's the only trust. And as she was sitting there, I saw my wife kissing her, and I saw how she hugged my wife's neck really hard. And I'm like, you know, that's a child right there. That's love. That's innocence, you know. Mm-hmm. At 15 months, I can't imagine taking that from her. You know, like it was taken from me at 15 years old. Mm-hmm. What it does to you, that trust, that love that she had thrown on her, that's what I had on my mother. My mother was the only thing in my fucking world, you know? So I was thinking about that. I was looking at it. I didn't get sad or anything. I just looked at it for what it was. And it came to me, you know, that's how intense, you know, I'm fucked up, but I'm not as fucked up as I thought I'd be. You know, I'm not, you know, whenever you watch Law and Order, these cop shows or MSNBC, they always go to an abused home or the fucked up home. I was raised from house to house and all this shit. Now I'm in here for murder, and they try to blame it off on their fucking childhood. You know, when I saw that, I saw the intensity of the pain of my childhood, and I saw a lot of the things why I had done the drugs, why I had, you know, robbed jewelry stores, why I had acted out, because it was all trying to get a thrill to beat that pain of that bond that was broken between a child and its mother. You know, It's so weird that I've learned more about my life since that child's been born.
Really?
Yeah, because I look at that baby and I see me in a lot of ways. And I'm looking at me thinking of what happened. I'm thinking about how I ended up so fucked up and how her innocence. She watches Wally Kazam and she claps and she spins around. When Wally Kazam comes on, she runs to the television. When am I fucking that excited about anything?
Yeah.
You know, so a child's innocence, what I'm trying to do is keep that innocence going. So she's 19 or 20 to have a spirit, you know. My spirit was broken at 15. I'm very surprised that I'm here, you know. But it's so weird when I look at Mercy, I learn so much about myself. I learn a lot about my life. I learn where I got my bad habits from doing certain things and they weren't corrected. You know, that's all you could do as a parent. There's a lot of people that listen to this show that are parents. A lot of people that don't give a fuck what I'm saying. But the concept is there. You're looking at your child and you're learning about yourself. You know, it's very weird. It's been a fucking adventure, you know, when I do this. That's why family bonds are just so strong. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, I have a sister, but I don't. And I don't have a brother, but I'm very tight with the ones that I have, as you notice, have you seen. So in my world, I understand where you're coming from, and I don't, but I understand more because there's kids that I've grown up with that are more brothers to me than their own brothers. And I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen that the brothers have even said to me, my brother loves you, bro. Like, your family, because my brother loves you. Like, you know, when I was, this last Sunday or Friday was my buddy Jimmy Burkle's anniversary of a 1 year of his death. You know, and I can't believe how much I miss him. Like, I never, ever thought in this world that I would miss a man the way I miss him. Just our little conversation. Dick, what's going on? Dick. He would just call me, leave a message. Dick. And he'd hang up. You know? You know, just those little things. You know, I always talk about, you know, there's these unsung heroes in my life. They deserve more credit than what I give them. I gave Jimmy Bender credit last Tuesday at the when I was talking about Ari Shafir show. This isn't happening. We're talking about role models, and I talked about Jimmy Bender. And then I think about somebody like Jimmy Burkle, who, without fucking no doubt, I would never be here because he took me out of Jersey at a very timely part of my life where they were all getting ready to fucking blast me. And he talked me out of leaving to go to Colorado and get a new life and blah, 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 blah. And whatever Jimmy did, he did that for me in his life. In a way, it was his sole purpose to save my life and for me to grow as a man. You know, once he saved me, that motivated me. Like, I had to do something for him.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do today is because of Jimmy, in a way. I do it for him because he gave me such a great chance at this. He pulled me out of there. It's not like he gave me money. Or no. He just said, if you want to go, you're welcome. You got to bring your own fucking money. You got to take care of yourself. So when I went out there, you know, I did whatever I did. But it put me on the path to us sitting here today. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so absolutely.
When I think about friends I have that are really my brothers. And I think about you. You know, this thing that's going on. And you're not at war with him. You just don't know. I understand.
Yeah. And just for anyone out there, if you do find him, he's not a bad kid. And if we were together for holidays, we'd hug and then we'd talk. But it's just, it's kind of like people from high school, I guess, how you kind of just drift apart. We're not really at war. We argue, but all brothers argue. So if you do find him on Facebook, don't go and attack him. He's not a bad guy. But it's interesting.
No, nobody's saying he's a bad guy. It's your relationship with him. I just wanted to make sure.
But yeah, no, it is different. I have a couple people I'm close with, but it's interesting how, like, your friends were like you and Darren, and you have a bunch of people who are your brothers, and it's, I think that's definitely, you kind of have to replace it. Were you a little, was any part of you at all jealous when Mercy jumped on your wife?
Not at all.
Really? Because I can see myself getting jealous about that.
Not at all, man.
Not
at all. It's love. It's, it depends on what part of your life you're in. You know, when you're 10, you could be jealous. When you're 20, I have a jealousy thing, but not really, because I know it doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
It used to make me crazy when I was 20, you know. At 30, it didn't fucking make me crazy no more. I just had to say something, you know. But not at all. Not at all does it make me...
Because you know she loves you too. It's just
I want her to love
at that moment she just jumped on your wife.
Listen, no. She comes over and she climbs on the footrest.
Mm-hmm.
And she jumps on me too. My wife goes, great. Don't let her do that. She's going to do that when you're not home. And you know what, man? There's times, like yesterday, the day before, I was talking to her. We were in the living room. And I had to blow my nose. And I walked backwards to get the tissue paper. And I stuck my head in the bathroom. Just my head. I took the arm to rip the tissue paper. And when I looked back 2 seconds later, she was on all fours about to stand up on the footrest. You know, she's going to fall.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to fucking fall. So, you know, I just hope she just falls when I'm not home. I don't want to hear the kabump and the crying and the fucking towel around the head with the ice. Because that I can't deal with. That I can't deal with. I'll faint, you know.
Oh, I had something terrible happen. My dad did the Icy London, like the bouncing on the knee thing, and he put me down. He was doing that one night, and we had a coffee table, and my head hit the corner of the coffee table, and I just remember like a towel around my head, all red, and I'm just like, oh, I must have been less than five. I just remember that towel. Oh my God.
A fucking hard. When I got bit by the dog in the Bronx, I remember having cotton on my face. That's all they had, like. And they kept saying, don't look. And I went into the mirror and I put the thing down. I seen the blood with the cotton. I never forgot that. I've never forgotten that memory at five. When I got hit in the head with the flashlight in New York.
You got hit in the head with a flashlight?
Oh. The first day of first grade. Where's those edibles at? Let's get this party started.
I already had mine.
Well, we got to split
already,
one.
I'm already sweating from it.
Nah, we got to split one. There's one more left. Let's split it. That's it. You can't. It's Passover. You can't walk on one leg.
This isn't kosher, though.
It's kosher.
No.
It was blessed. Take half. Take half, my brother. What the fuck? The power of Christ compels you. Come on. Look at that. Look, that ain't half of you.
Yes, it is.
You sure? Look at you. You better. What did I tell you last night? I said, make sure you stop and you get a nice, healthy breakfast. Some oatmeal, a piece of wheat toast, some fruit. Look at you. You're chewing that like it's sperm in a fucking, in a capsule. Chew that motherfucker with heart, cocksucker.
Oh, my God.
Mm-mm-mm. I want to thank my people in fucking Grand Rapids. I love you guys.
These are delicious. If you guys
can
are
of cubes, I don't know where to get them from.
Facebook.com/blackdogmedibles.
And where they at? Are they California? Are they Michigan? Where are they at?
These I would assume they're out of Michigan.
I like the packaging. I like how they put the THC levels in the back here and shit. I was putting the fucking thing on the microphone, and you could see it.
Yeah, they put the THC test on it.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, each one is fucking 20 milligrams, because this one had Canna Cubes apple and Canna Cubes blue raspberry. The blue raspberry is delicious.
What are you talking about, 20 milligrams? They just put that for design. It's like 5 a piece.
I love it. Every time I talk to you, you're getting a different percentage of a new venture, and there's also an edible with so few milligrams I'm not even going
to
notice it.
Listen, brother, I don't talk to my fucking ex-wife.
Yeah?
I don't talk to my daughter, but I don't walk around with the guilt.
Okay.
Okay, I let the guilt go, which is what you've done. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't feel guilty about it. You've accepted it. You know, there's people in life you're going to talk to. You know, I don't talk to Jackie's godmother anymore. Fucking 20 years. 20 years. I haven't talked to people that were my fucking sister and brother-in-law. Sister and brother-in-law over... In their mind, it's over $200. It's my mind. It's about taking sides. They took sides with somebody over me.
Mm-hmm.
I just never talked to them again. Never. Conversation ended. When Facebook started, she sent a friend request. I almost stuck my hand to the fucking computer. You know, I'm a nice guy. I love people. I love having relationships with people. I love fucking around with people. You know, you and I giggle. Me and D'Agostino giggle like girls. You know, me and Steve Simone giggle like girls. Me and Josh Wolf giggle. Me and Joe Rogan giggle. Me and Ari giggle. I like to giggle. But there's some part of it, man. A conversation ends for me, it ends.
Yeah.
You know, I don't go back. And I feel guilty. I should put my hand up every day, every couple of days. If I'm not telling you guys this on the church, or at least I am, I'm lying to you. Every couple of days, I feel like picking up the phone and calling my... If you know anything about me, if you know anything about me as a man, and if you believe me as a co-host of a fucking podcast that we're trying to set an example here, there's nothing I like to do more than to call my ex-wife and say, hey, man, how you doing, blah, 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 what's going on? But you know what, guys? It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to... I'm dealing with somebody who tried to cut my legs off.
Yeah.
There's people in life who make mistakes. There's people in life who hit on your wife, or they hit on your girlfriend, or they call you a faggot, or something. That's one thing. But to try to cut your fucking legs off is another. I cannot get myself to, you know, hey, listen, and I'm no angel in this. I'm sure I said things to hurt her feelings, but feelings and cutting somebody's legs off are two different stories.
Mm-hmm.
Me in my life, I would never cut somebody's legs off. Unless I was going for them. Unless they did something to take me the fuck down. I'm not going to lie to you. I've had gone for people's legs before. You go, enjoy. What the fuck are you talking about? A couple years ago, I got the Sopranos. But one of the guys on the Sopranos didn't like me, so he went to the producers and said something. That's cutting your legs off.
Okay.
You don't like me? You don't fucking like me. That's okay. But for you to go out of your way, my ex-wife did everything she could to go out of her way for me to fail. Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. She wanted me to fail to make me look bad in front of my daughter. Here it is, guys. When I decided to make the move from my daughter to conquer comedy, to get into comedy because I had nothing else, part of the thing I was leaving behind in the conquer was my daughter. My plan was to communicate with her the way most parents do from out of state. But once I left, I really lost control of the relationship. And even though I called and I sent things, if you guys know anything about me, one thing I do is fucking call. For me to give up on calling, it's because it was that bad. It went on. We communicated till 2000, maybe five, till a little before The Longest Yard came out. We communicated with no problems. I mean, it wasn't rosy. It wasn't a rosy relationship. And one day, I just decided that for my health, for her health, and especially for Jackie's health, that this wasn't going anywhere because she was getting beat up from two directions. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like if you work for me and my wife, you're getting, my wife is saying shit to you, and I'm saying shit to you.
Yeah.
No amount of money is worth that, Lee. No amount of money is worth that. If my wife is saying, leave that box there, and I'm saying, put it over there.
Oh, yeah.
My wife's a dummy, and you come in and you get in the middle of it, and that's what they were doing to my daughter. So I don't want anybody to think I don't talk to her because I'm just a hard-headed fuck. She was in the middle of something bad. She was in the middle of something that a child shouldn't be in the middle of at that age. Who determined that? Me, because I know what a child should be involved in at that age. I was a child at one time. And I know at 14, I heard things I should have never been exposed to. You know, I goof around with you guys how, you know, I was going to Bruce Lee movies and shit at fucking 10 and 9 at that cinema. That's not right. That really isn't right. Kids aren't ready to see fucking Charles Bronson shoot three black people when you're fucking 9 years old. You're really not in the fucking mind. I wish you were.
Yeah.
I wish you were, you know. But it just didn't go nowhere. Me being around made the situation worse for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I decided against. But at the same time, guys, I always kept in touch. I always sent money. My child support's paid. I have my license. You know, I can't travel internationally because of the fucking warrants. That's the only reason why. Not because of passport issues, nothing like that. But I also did something else. I also decided that if I wasn't going to be there to watch her grow full time, I was going to dedicate myself to whatever the fuck I was going to do 150% with her name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all my push is with Jackie's name on it. Every time I wake up in the morning, Jackie's in my thoughts somewhere along the line making me get up. Because I had to prove to her that in the meantime, I wasn't out there drinking like the mother thought I was going to be. Or smoking. See, the mother by now thought I'd be dead. Every time they ran that trailer for Grudge Match over the holidays, she had to see it once, or her parents had to see it once, and her fucking phone rang. She goes right to the drinker or pops 22 fucking pills. Or gets the rope ready because she didn't expect me to live.
Right.
And that's how I fuck her in the ass on a daily basis. Between you and I wanted to kill her. Everybody knows that. It's common fucking knowledge. Somebody cuts your legs off. At that state of mind, what I was thinking at that time, I don't know how she got away with it. God fucking shined on me. You know, I'm not an atheist. I'm a Catholic, and I believe there's something out there. But I'm also a Buddhist in mind. I'm also a Cuban Jew. And I'm also a Santeria specialist, A101. But I do believe that there's something out there stronger than us that directs us. How do I know? When I look at that little girl. When I look at Mercy.
Yeah.
And I look at my sperm sack. And I see that I'm 51. I look at my face. And I see my past. And I look at my wife. My wife is okay. But for me to have something that sweet in their life, there's got to be somebody up there that decided to say, you know what? You earned your stripes, bro. You didn't lose your mind. You didn't shoot a fucking mall full of kids. You gave the blow a fucking shot. I'm going to throw you a little something just to show you life did have some hope to it.
Yeah.
Life does have hope, man. Life really does have hope to it. Don't fucking ever give up, man. I gave up a lot of times physically. I gave up with just, you know, like when you plug your phone in and it says you're like 3%.
Yeah.
That's to the point I was in my life. Fucking many a time, man. I answer the emails. I see where you guys are at. You might be at 3% full, you know? You're ready to fucking tap out. Fuck that shit. Put somebody's picture on that fucking 3%, make that motherfucker go up to 60, and hit the ground running, bitch. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no looking back. You know, we've all been at that point in our lives. We're at 3%, 2% energy left. We're ready to give up hope, man.
And it's weird. I might not necessarily believe in a higher power, but for some reason I do believe in karma. Like
fuck yeah.
Karma, I always...
Fuck yeah. You ever been spanked by karma? I have. Yeah. I have been spanked my fucking karma.
I don't know if it's something that you, by doing something negative, just do feel negative, or if it actually is something real. But like you said, like, I mean, I can see how seeing Mercy, like, there has to be a higher power. But maybe it's just, I don't know, the energy you were putting out and the energy your wife was putting out, it is pretty crazy.
Every fucking morning, man, I write down before I leave Facebook and Twitter, if you notice, I write, have a great day.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody could say that shit, but they don't. Anybody could say that, but they don't. You know, I say that because I start with those words, or I want those words in my head early in the morning. When people hit me up on Twitter in the morning, we're going back and forth, I'll throw out 15 loves in the morning, and they'll sit there going, what the fuck is he talking about? Because that's all we want to put out all fucking day. I don't even know what love is. You know what love is? What? You have any fucking idea? The word sounds a lot better than hate. The word sounds a lot better than cunt. The word sounds a lot better than fucking fight and fuck you.
Yeah.
Love sounds a lot better. When you say love, Doesn't sound that fucking bad when I say fuck you. Even if I say fucking Finny, get the fuck out of the cat food, you know? Whatever. You follow what I'm saying to you? So all those things just makes your fucking day a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to make your day a lot fucking better, man, when you believe, you know? So I believe. I fucking believe every morning it's going to be a great day, you know?
It is. Here we go.
Who's this?
Who do you think it is?
Oh, shit. What's happening, Mr. Steve Avila?
How the hell are you, brother?
You know, good over here with the flying Jew. It's Passover. I'm trying to, you know, get the history of fucking Judaism from him. He's holding back on me and shit.
He's telling You're going to have to enlighten me on that one.
Well, he's telling me, you know, Moses freed the Jews, the slaves from Egypt. He was just trying to tell the people at home, put the music on and break it down for Avila. He don't know.
I always thought it was Charlton Heston in the NRA.
No. It was really Moses and shit like that. Avils, the other day, I wanted to talk to you for the last 2 weeks. I've known you a long fucking time, and we're very musically inclined. I mean, we grew up in your fucking basement in the shed playing music through a Marshall stack. Who plays fucking music through a Marshall stack?
Damn stereo off to that thing and wake up the neighborhood.
Oh my God, and we had a drum set in there so you could jump on the drums and play the fucking drums. And
yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, those drums, I think they were Steins. You remember Steins?
Yeah, Lowenstein.
Danny Lowenstein, yeah. Those are his. He was a good drummer, man. I don't know what happened to him. I haven't seen him in, it's got to be 30 years.
He's around. Because some kid hit me up and said that he still talks to him from the old town and shit like that. So he's around. He just doesn't come down much. But I saw that it's so weird how I look at what you post from time to time and what I post, and we're fucking music savages. One of my friends said to me the one day, he's like, man, you really know about music. And I'm like, I don't really know about music. He goes, no, you really fucking know about music. And I didn't think I did, but Jesus, all this time we put in, all this time at the fucking stores, the music stores. You and I would go to that record store on Bergenline Avenue, up the corner from Chicken Delight. Do you know which one I'm talking about? That's where I bought Sabotage.
Yeah. Whenever I had extra money, that was the first thing I would do. I would take a walk up to Bergenline Avenue because we walked everywhere, you know, and whatever was coming out that was new, you know. When you heard something was coming out, that's what you did. You went to the record store the day it came out and got it. Or stuff that was old that, maybe an older brother or somebody or a friend turned you on to. You know, that's just what you did. That's what we did. You know, and you'd sit there with the big album cover and you'd study that thing and read the words and all this other stuff and liner notes and everything while you were listening to it the first time. I mean, you just don't get that experience with, you know, CDs, forget about digital music. You don't get that experience with digital music, that's for sure.
Well, let's back it up a little bit. You went home, you ripped the album open, you opened it up, you fucking put weed in there, you busted up a bud, you de-seeded the motherfucker, you rolled the joint, then you smoked two hits, then you put the album on and digested side one, and then you'd smoke a little bit again, and you'd digest side two, and then you'd smoke a little bit again, and we'd talk about what we just fucking listened to.
Absolutely. Either that or a little bit of hash from Chicken Neck, you know?
From something. But it was just amazing how I've always discussed that, how we would open up the album and look at the liner notes. And there's no creativity in a CD album no more, or in a download. I love it. I love that you could just go click a thing and I got an album cover. I don't have to get in my car and go get an album and go through all that shit. Mm-hmm. But I also miss that process we discussed, the coming home with that walk home is the longest walk of all time when you go buy an album and you want to listen to it.
Yes, it is.
You could not wait to get fucking home. You prayed that there was none of your brothers were home. You prayed that, you know, you just wanted to get home and listen to this thing that you've been hearing about and read up about. And now you get a CD, you open it up, and there's nothing in there. There's a piece of paper.
Yeah.
That's it. No. What are the famous covers you remember of Vils, besides Some Girls, where you could spin the thing and fucking, I still, every episode, every time we talk about music and albums, I talk about the liner on the Led Zeppelin In Through the Outdoor.
Yes.
In fact, they have something online about it. Somebody wrote something because they said I brought it up, and they brought it up and showed the Van Halen 2. Oh, my God, yes. I think of all the albums we looked at the covers for hours. The Wall is, you fucking mm-hmm. painted it on your wall.
Yeah, I was inspired. We were talking about that the other day, man. Just, you know, we wound up getting that album and then the tickets for the show. And once we had the tickets for the show, we was, you know, it just, I would listen to that thing every day. And then I decided to, you know, paint it.
It was such
where
a beautiful.
From, I have no idea.
But it was such a beautiful process because.
Yes, it was.
I remember my mother dying, awake, blah, 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 and then going back to school. And then one night getting a call from Chirpy, a.k.a. Lubes, and said, hey, you know, we're going to get tickets tomorrow with Focaccia. Well, that's what they call him, Chirpy. That's you, Chirpy Jr., cocksucker.
Yeah.
And we, I remember going to school and, like, looking at each other, like, we're playing hooky. Like, why are we here? Yeah. Why are we here? We're going to get tickets. And we got in the car and we went to a mall first, and they didn't have tickets in Paramus, and then we ended up going to the Fairleigh Dickinson or something like that.
Yeah, say the Ticketron, and then that was even before Ticketmaster. We're dating ourselves now, brother.
And that's $15.50 we paid for those tickets.
Yes.
And then we got those tickets probably after Thanksgiving. So it was probably the beginning of December. The show was mid-February, February 23rd, February 20th, something like that.
24.
So you had 2 months to listen to The Wall and party and analyze it. Lee's getting fucked up already. It's Passover. Lee ate a medical marijuana cannabis fucking cup, and I just caught him staring at me, and his eye got stuck. You know when your eye gets stuck? That's when you know you're fucked up. Once that left eye gets stuck, and you catch it, and you can't focus it, but you don't want to hit yourself in the side of the head because you don't want nobody to see you get your eye stuck. But, it's brilliant how we, for 2 months, and we did that with a lot of shows. We did that where we get tickets and hold it for 2 months, and then for 2 months, it was a countdown. Like, everybody knew that you were going to see Ozzy, April, whatever. Everybody knew you were going to see, you know, the New Barbarians or something. Everybody fucking knew. Well, the New Barbarians, I didn't even know about like a week before.
Yeah. That show came around quick.
That was
that
quick.
That show came around real quick.
I look up the schedule to that show, and I look up what happened. Like, you could Wikipedia that, and it's very interesting. For those who don't know it, the New Barbarians were Keith and Ron Wood put together a little band, and they toured. It was like with Charlie Watts, Stanley Clark,
right.
Ian whatever on the piano.
Ian McClagan.
They had Robert Plant sing at some cities. They had... Rod Stewart sing at some cities. It was pretty fucking cool little tour, you know, that they did back then in the 80s. Long fucking time ago, Steve Avila.
I know. The other thing you used to be able to get away with was when the lights went out at the Garden was just jumping over the walls to get down to the orchestra. I must have jumped over three walls from, like, Blue Heaven all the way down. We got down to, like, fifth row at that New Barbarian show.
I never.
Do you remember that brawl that broke out in orchestra at the end of the show?
At the end of the show, yeah. I still remember that fist fight, shift flying up in the air. But it also ended like that at Ted Nugent AC/DC.
Yes, that's right.
Ted Nugent AC/DC, August 4th, 1979. How's that one? I still remember the fucking date. I went over there with Chris Morgan and a bunch of fucking savages. We all met at Lucci's. You know, I'm going to Orlando, Florida this week, and Joe Lucci lives in Orlando, and I wish that he shows up. I've hit him up on Facebook, but I don't think Lucci Facebooks. He's way beyond that, you know?
I've never seen him on that. I think he's actually, there's somebody who I know that oh, God, I ran into them not that long ago, was married to him, or is married to him, and was up from Florida, and I don't remember why.
You know, if you think, she's up from, that's right, they live in Florida. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to go to Orlando on Friday. But it's so weird how growing up we had these little divisions, like you had the parks and you had like 46th Street and you had people on 51st Street.
Yep.
And then you had 64th Street. That was always a scary area to go. I remember walking home with you and even walking past that area was fucking scary when you were a kid because you didn't know who you were going to bump into and what they were going to give you. It wasn't scary in the sense of you're going to get beat up or nothing like that. No. It was scary because everybody in that four-block area got down late. Like, when you saw people, like, you want to drink a beer? You want to do a hit of acid? Like, it was just scary. I OD'd at Joe Lucci's fucking basement. A lot of people don't know that. When I was about 17, I OD'd in Joe Lucci's basement. Had to be 19. I ate like a Quaalude and did a bunch of bumps, and I drank those Bud Light Wiser nips, about 25 of those things, and I did it in the afternoon. I OD'd.
You were like in a heap in the corner.
Yes. Yes, I passed out.
Yes, you did.
I passed out even with the blow, and people were concerned, and people fucking asked me to go to a hospital and shit and could take care of myself. Fuck that. Yeah, yeah, but Joe Lucci's, that was from 64th Street Field all the way down. You never knew what you were going to bump. I remember walking home one night. This had to be 1981. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm walking home, and I cut through the rocks because all that was a shortcut. And I see Corky. It's got to be 3 in the morning. It's a school night. And I see Corky. This is when I lived with the Benders. And I see Corky with a bunch of other guys from 46th Street Field, 64th Street Field. And he still had his work clothes on, like at the time he sold cars.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 4 in the morning. So he got out of work at like 6, went out drinking. Now it's 4 in the morning. He still had the white shirt on with a little bit of blood on it. The tie was taken off. And they had a bunch of fucking people on the rocks. And as I was getting there, the cops came and put lights on him. And they were like dancing in front of the cops. They didn't fucking care. I remember walking and going, what the fuck did I just see? That they did, and they were grown men. They were grown fucking men. They had music on and jukeboxes, whatever those fucking ghetto blasters were. And fucking tremendous.
I mean, I remember, you remember walking home to the cemetery and seeing the devil worshippers?
Fuck yeah. I mean, I took a shit in that cemetery.
People around a fire or doing all weird shit.
Dog, I took a shit in that cemetery one night. I had a shit really bad. And I cut through that. That cemetery cut like 40 minutes off your walk, correct?
Oh, easy, easy.
Because at one point you come up by Larry McNeil's house on 51st Street. But there was another cemetery that you came out by 46th Street Field. You walked through that shit. But where it got spooky was behind the projects. That's where the devil worshippers were.
Yeah. Well, that's how you got down there.
That's how you got down there.
You cut through that gap in the fence, and you'd walk down that hill with all the glass on it and stuff. You'd walk down that hill, and that's how you get to the road.
I went, because there was a basketball court there. You had to cut through the courtyard there. So one day I was walking through there, and one of the guys like, hey, shoot a game of fucking hoops with me. So I said, okay. I started playing hoops. And some guy goes, stop, I dropped my package. If anybody finds it, it's mine. I look when it's right in front of me. And it was a little bit of coke with like 3 fucking pills in it. And they used to snort gasoline, those kids. What were those, you know, like Dickie what were those kids down there? The kids that hung out at that particular basketball court, like I didn't hang out with them. I didn't know them. But that day, they were snorting paint. And they had another container of gasoline they were snorting. I'll never fucking forget that shit.
Why'd you go by that park? That because it's terrible. It's
people snorting gasoline. Nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, some people like doing blow. Some people like gasoline, Lee.
Yeah, they used to do, what was that? That freaking model, that model glue, that stuff that with that horrible smell?
Yeah, yeah. They used to do the model glue.
There with a paper bag over their nose and mouth.
And they'd have pimples on their neck. You get like some type of rash from snorting paint and shit like that. You get like pimples on your neck and shit. Oh, my God. Nobody fucking snorts glue no more. What's this country coming to? I remember one time, one of my best friends in life looked me straight in the face, Fernie Basulto, and he says to me, what's snorting glue like? I go, I have no fucking idea, Fernie. I've never snorted glue. He goes, I'm thinking about doing it. I swear to God, this is the conversation we had, like when he was like 20. Do you know this motherfucker went and bought glue one day? But he didn't buy model glue. He bought Elmer's glue, the dumb fuck. I will never, ever, ever forget Fernie buying Elmer's glue and going, I bought some glue. You want to give it a shot? I'm like, Fernie, it's not fucking Elmer's. It's the, you know what night that was, bro? We put, what was the Calandrillo that used to walk around, that used to live in the park? Bobby Cal?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
There was a Calandrillo that lived in Hudson County Park. I had the brother Danny.
The one you set on fire?
Yeah, the one that's where we set him on fire. That was the night when Fernie bought the Elmer's glue. Because we got that glue and put it on the newspaper and put it in his back pocket. And we lit the newspaper. So the glue ignited the fucking paper. It was that same night. That's the same night we did it. And the paper was burning in his pocket. He didn't even know it, Avila. He had no idea. There's smoke coming out from his back. Finally, we told him you're on fire, and he fucking jumped on the floor. He did the spin roll, whatever the fuck he did.
Spin roll.
Talk about a misspent youth, huh?
You know what, man? It's what it made me today. Speaking about misspent youth, I was seeing on Facebook that you're doing a 30-year anniversary up at, what is it called, Bar 90?
Yeah, 90 Park.
90
it's
Park.
Right outside Hudson County Park. It's a big place in North Bergen. It's actually, it's so it's, you know, everybody from the year that we graduated, we're all chipping over that half a century mark. So, you know, it's time to get everybody together.
It's very nice that you do these things, brother. I like that you do this, but you know what's really sad? I thought about that the guys that we really hung out with in 82, they're not going to show up. A lot of these guys are long gone, man. Like, not long gone in death, but I think that in life they've moved on a little bit. Like I was telling you last night, like to get one guy, you got to invite 10 of them. Like if you want Za Higgins, you got to invite the other guy, and the fucking other guy to come together, and they'll come as a family with the wives, you know?
Yeah.
We're the last of the Mohicans, Avils. You got the band, I'm doing stand-up comedy. Who would have thought we'd still be out there fucking plugging away every week? Did you, at the age of 50, Avila, did you think?
No.
You were going to be
I have no idea.
You're an engineer in the daytime?
I just, you know what, man, I just consider myself very lucky to be doing what I'm doing with the, you know, and finding guys, basically, to do it with. You know, to be able to play, you know, years ago, you know, you were in a band in, what, it last 6 months because everybody was just, you know, you were crazy. So now it's just, I don't know, it's just, it's a privilege, man. It's a privilege and it's a blessing to just be able to do this now.
Well, let me ask you this. You're an engineer in the daytime, correct?
Yeah, I'm a propeller head.
And at night you're in a fucking band. You have two daughters, one in college, one in high school, a wife. How the fuck do you find time, man?
It ain't easy. It's a delicate balancing act. That's it. It's just what you got to do. You put your time in, you work, your family, and that always, you know, your family comes first regardless. And, you know, the band to me is it's icing on the cake, you know?
It's a hobby, but for people who know you, like myself, I know it's an outlet. I know it's something that, you know, Steve, the first time I met you was at the wreck on 64th Street, and your band was playing, your guitar string broke. It was like the biggest fucking thing I had ever seen. I don't even know who was in your band. John Rago was playing the drums. But that was over 40 fucking years ago. That was 37 years ago. So just the fact, like, I started comedy at 28, I'm 50, okay, big fucking deal. You've been doing this since, you know, and to just have the, you know, I'm doing this today because I want the people at home that listen to this, you know, I have a young demographic, and I want them to know that, you know, 50 is fucking dick anymore. Like, I never even thought of being 50. I always thought of being 37 because it was the year 2000. And I'm like, I'll probably either die before that or die shortly after that. And just to, when you posted that thing the other day, it really ate me. Because on my 30 fucking years, we graduated fucking high school. I didn't think I'd make it out of high school 5 years. I thought I'd be dead. I really did, man. I didn't think I'd be fucking here right now, sitting across, eating edibles with the Flying Jew, talking to you on the fucking phone, headed to Orlando to do comedy. At that age in the shed, did you know what you wanted to do when we were sitting there at night doing our thing?
I didn't have a clue.
We didn't have a fucking clue.
Live in the moment, man. You know? So, I didn't have a clue. I knew I always wanted to play music, but, you know, who knew where you would be, what you would be doing, you know, 5 years from then, never mind, you know, 35.
Let me ask you something, just so you let these guys know. How fast did the 30 years go, Avila?
Blink of an eye.
Fucking fast.
blink of an eye. If you remember that night when you're talking about when I was playing, actually I was playing, I was sitting in with Johnny Rago's band. It wasn't even my band. I was 12 years old.
Yeah, we were young. We were dirt young. I was, you know.
12 years old. That's a long time, brother.
That really is. That's something. You're very lucky to still be doing it. You're very lucky. You know, we had a conversation last night about benefits and how some people act weird and whatnot, and how you were, you know, I'm so grateful to be able to do this. It doesn't even matter about the paycheck, and that's the same point I'm at in my life sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
I just like getting out and doing stand-up and yelling and screaming. It's not about the money. If it was about the money, I'd be selling fucking blow and going for broke. You know, why am I going to be doing this shit? Because it's a passion. It's a love, and you stick with it.
Absolutely.
And you know what, Manavilles? You're in the Past Masters. You know, it's a band that's local to you. You know, I watch the photographs and I see the videos, and it could be the Stones or it could be the Past Masters. To you, it's your life. I could see when you're up on that stage singing, man.
So, yeah, you gotta, you know, you gotta, you put everything you have into it. Like when it's a passion, man, it's just you sing from your, it's not even from your gut, it's from your balls.
Oh, it all starts with your fucking balls. You know that. I mean, that's where we're from. It's all about fucking balls, man. You know, I'm in the shower this morning, taking a bath, taking a shower. I'm like, what am I gonna say today? You know, what am I gonna tell these guys today on the fucking Facebook wall? And all of a sudden, I said, I don't know. I'll think of something. And all of a sudden, you know, you have those moments of doubt, like ah. I'm like, grab your balls. I'm like, exactly. That's what I'm going to tell them today. Grab their fucking balls and their hearts. They got to go out there. Nothing happens without hearts and fucking balls. And nobody knows that more than us, man. It was instilled in us at a young age. That was our, like, fucking cliche thing for the neighborhood. You know, we're all heart. You got to have fucking heart. And,
yeah.
It's just really good to see that you're still here, Villo. 30 fucking years later, you're one of the... You know, you and your family are the nicest fucking people in the world. You know, I call you every week. You know, I try to call you because you made that much of a difference in my life. And when I see that, when I watched that one video about a year ago that you put up with Julie Sachs and everybody was having a great time on stage, you fucking inspired me, Villo. You really did. I was like, Jesus Christ. This guy don't give a fuck if he's at the Garden or he's at some bar in Moonaki. He's going to give it 150 fucking percent. And you got to respect that, you know.
Only way to do it. It's the only way to roll.
And if you're young and you're listening to this, this is a friend of mine that, you know, this has been there since day one. I passed out in his house. I puked in his house. I drank juice with fucking bees in it at his house. Fuck yeah, Blee.
The juice with the bees, remember?
The juice with the fucking bees in it, bitch.
Why would you do that?
For all you kids that die from a bee sting, suck my dick, okay? We were drinking fucking garbage out of a garbage can. Alcohol with juice and antifreeze in that motherfucker, and then they put bees in that bitch, okay?
They put, it wasn't even a mistake.
No, we put bees in that motherfucker. How many bees you put in there, Villas, you and your family?
Any, you know, because it was all sweet and stuff. You had these bees flying around, so the first thing you would do, you just whack these bees and knock them into the drink, and they can't get out.
What was in the drink? Tell these fucking amateurs what was in the drink, Avell, in a garbage can filled with alcohol. What was in that motherfucker that time?
Oh, God. It was everything and anything people brought, you know? So it was, you figure it was some juice, some sherbet, we threw fruit in there, bees, and in any bottle anybody had, whether it was vodka, gin, Jack Daniel, whiskey, everything went into there. There was... You know, it wasn't just one alcohol, it was every alcohol. So whatever was, you know, and you drank it, you after a while you didn't taste it anyway.
You didn't taste it, you just swallowed the bee like nothing, like a soul. You can't.
Absolutely.
You know how these Mexicans put a fucking caterpillar, a worm, in a bottle of tequila?
Yeah.
A Villos, they put bees in their fucking booze, bitch.
Oh my God.
That's old school Sicilian type shit from the hills. Bees, I'll never forget, I was so fucked up that I fell asleep on Sensulo's lawn, and I'll never forget the cop, Ray Onesto, woke me up on his lawn and drove me home, and like my fucking mom answered the door and shit.
I could remember waking up the next day and my yard would look like, it would look like a war zone. I mean, there would be people sleeping all over the yard, you know? I remember walking, it's a Sunday morning, people are going to church and, you know, You know, Darren sleeping in the grass, the pelican sleeping on top of a garbage can. I mean, it was just a complete disarray of bodies all over the lawn, sleeping outside.
We talked about this the last time you were on the podcast about a year ago about having a party at my house when we went upstairs and you had your pants off or some shit. We were sophomores in high school, juniors, and Chris Donovan was going to hit Eddie Borelli with the crutch in the head. Oh, my God.
What the hell was I doing with my pants off?
I don't know. You with some broad upstairs fucking dry humping to death or some shit.
Ah, okay.
And somebody went up there and they came down to Villos up there with his pants down. You got to go say something. I ain't saying nothing. He's over there slinging dick. Who am I? Who am I, Lee? You got to see Lee Syatt right now, Villo. He's fucked up again. I don't know why he does this. Every day he wants to come in here and eat edibles. He wanted to eat an edible every day for Passover.
Did he do this to you when you were young? Did he like try to give you stronger drinks or give you stronger weed? He must have done this. This isn't new.
He didn't have to.
He volunteered. He didn't have to. We knew the deal. We knew the fucking deal.
Well, they didn't have this when you were 19.
Yes, they did. They had worse. We were taking mescaline. Imagine taking a hit of something high for 12 hours, seeing stars and pelicans and shit. What would you do then, Lee, cocksucker? This is nothing. I'm making you feel good. I could pull your molar out right now. You wouldn't feel it.
I just remember the intermission at the wall looking down at orchestra section. All it was swirls of color.
That's all it is.
Do you remember those things? It was like a toy when you were a kid. It was like you put this thing in this little thing and you started the motor and it spun and you had these bottles of paint and you would just throw the paint at these things and it would spin and make art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know if you remember that.
That's
spun
what
around.
The orchestra section looked like.
Yeah, yeah. But we used to fucking, you know, Vils, I don't know, you know, I used to fucking trip heavy duty in those days. That one year, I think I took fucking mescaline like every day. I would take that shit. My resistance for that at some point, it was amazing, the animals I saw. I remember taking blotter acid and going home and the phone ringing and me going to answer the phone and being in front of a mirror and seeing my lip melt and going, oh, my God, I got to call you back. And I didn't tell the person on the phone that I saw my face fucking melt. I just said, I got to call you back and hung up.
Yeah.
It was
some crazy stuff, man.
I used to fucking trip a lot.
But
man,
we're here. We are here.
No, we're fucking here. I'm very happy. My liver's good. I went to acupuncture yesterday. I had to clean out my adrenals just in case I had some leftover fucking cocaine in there from the 80s. Who knows? When I was going to karate, you know, that cocaine sticks to your fucking fat. So I'd be all fucked up throwing sidekicks, and all of a sudden I'd bump into a coke rock like the Titanic, and I'd get paranoid for a minute. And then I'd be back. I'd be back, Avillo. Avillo. When is this party at 90s? I want some people to go up there and see some North Bergen people. Tell them all about it.
April 26th. It's a Saturday night.
It's
a couple of weeks.
Okay, it's 2 weeks from this Saturday. No, it's a week from this Saturday.
It's a week from Saturday, yeah.
It's a week from Saturday.
Not this Saturday, next Saturday.
If you're in Jersey, go up to North Bergen and support. I know you play places all over Jersey. What's other places you're going to be playing this summer or in June or in May?
You know what actually is going to be a really cool thing is we're playing, we're doing a couple of things over the summer. We're playing the Pace Race out at the Meadowlands.
Okay.
I think that's July 12th. So you come out, feed the ponies, and listen to some great rock and roll. And then there's we're doing two shows down in Seaside Park, right outside where the Sawmill is. So they're big outdoor concerts. They're on Wednesday nights from 7:30 to 9:30. So what is it? One is July 9th and the other is August 6th, I believe. Yeah, July 9th and August 6th. So those are some cool shows to see in the summer.
That's fucking tremendous.
But, you know, we're all over. TPMrocks.com. Just look at our schedule. You can find out where we're playing.
Avillo, as usual, I love you, man. I just wanted to tell you I'm too happy, brother, that you're still putting the people together in our neighborhood. You know, I tried when I went out to the Stress Factory. A lot of people came out, but I'm happy you're doing what you're doing, man. You know, 30 years went by like dick. And yep. That was the main purpose of the call today. I want to tell these fucking motherfuckers that you got to get up and strap a fucking cock on. 30 years fucking flies by. And next thing you know, you're still in your house playing fucking Xbox, thinking, where did time go? You got to get out of the fucking house and make it happen. Avils, I love you, cocksucker. I'll call you next week.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for calling, brother. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Love you.
Just like that, bitches. Just like fucking that, okay? I don't want to hear no crying. We drank bees and booze, okay? And you got to eat a fucking little cannabis pie and you're fucking dying. What's that?
There's nothing left.
You want to eat another one?
No.
Look at the shape of you, Lee. But it's Passover. If you're Jewish, happy Passover. I forgot to say that to all my fucking Jews that watch the show, all your families. Let me give some shout-outs here to my main man, Dan Pacini, always giving me love. Abigail Posey, Brady Ferguson, Seth Burrell, Sam Murray Productions, you bad motherfuckers. And Matt Silman, I love you. That's your fucking real name. I don't even know what your fucking real name is anymore. So we talked about your brother. What are you giggling about, Lee? What the fuck is wrong with you? It's Wednesday, the 16th of April, and you're giggling. What are you going to do today? I hope you're going to go to the park and walk around in the sun.
No.
What do you mean no? It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive.
I'm going
to
leave this office for a while.
What do you mean you're not leaving the office? It's fucking beautiful out. I need you out there hustling, doing some fucking push-ups, mugging somebody, hitting somebody with a car. You got to get involved. It's Wednesday, guy. I love Steve Avila. And he's just saying, what the fuck? 30 years, man. 30 years that kid's been around. I want you to think about some of you guys at home aren't even 30 years old. That's my friend, you know, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I talked to people that long. I'm proud. And I kept them all in mind. Even in my darkest fucking times, I kept all those people in mind. When I was in prison, I didn't call Avila. I don't want to call nobody from in there. I got nothing to say to you from in there. I let them down. But now I talk to these guys every day, and I'm happy. I'm very happy.
Are you going to go back to that bar thing or
no? No, I'm in fucking Baltimore for John Jones.
Okay.
Tuxera. I can never go to those things.
Why?
I don't know. It doesn't make me happy. I see those people sometimes. Because he has a different realm of people.
Okay.
He has a different realm of people. And between you and I, they were very decent. And they don't remember me as being decent.
Oh, okay.
You follow me? They don't remember
me. So you don't want to show off and be like,
no, I'm
cool now.
No, that doesn't mean anything to me. I was cool then.
Well, yeah.
I was a bad motherfucker then, but they saw me as troubled and they didn't want to hang out with me. So for me to go there now would feel redundant.
So how are you friends with Steve then? Was it just because of music?
He always believed in me, man. He never judged, I don't think. I think that he felt bad. A lot of those guys knew what I was going on through. They knew I was a thief. They knew I had become a piece of shit. They kept me at arm's distance, but they still cared about me. You know what I'm saying? I was very lucky. They still cared about me. And Steve was one of those guys that I'd see, and he cared about me for who I was. He'd ask me how I was doing. You know, I couldn't ask him for money. I knew I was going to go nowhere there. I couldn't say nothing to those guys, you know. All he could tell me was that he loved me and that he was thinking of me from time to time. You know, I never forgot what he did for me. I never forgot that he fed me. I never forgot that he didn't judge me. What had happened was, I was friends with Loops first.
Okay,
and Conti and a bunch of guys. This is what really happened for the people at home that want to know. I don't care about old history. There was this group of guys, like a gang called the Boys in my hometown. Tough guys. They didn't make money. They weren't a criminal organization. So that's why I didn't give a fuck about them. They just drank.
Okay.
They would get together at night and drink, and the girls would sit there and look at them, and they'd count how many beers they drank. And, you know, that was what they were doing at 15. Me, I thought there was more to life. So I'd go to their parties and say hello and hang out with them, but they weren't into drugs. There was like six or seven of them that were very straight. They just drank, and they smoked pot. There was the other crew. Me, Luby, Glenn, we snorted coke. We wanted to go out into the city. I mean, these guys wanted to sit in the garage every night with flannel shirts on and drink and listen to music and talk about football and shit like that. And then girls would come over, and the girls would say, stop drinking. And they would say, no, this is my 18th beer. I didn't want to do that at 15.
Okay.
I knew at 15 I didn't want to do that. So one day I went to one of their parties, and they're like, we want to make you one of the little boys. This is no shit, people. This is what they're like, we want you to be in this fucking girl band. And I go, all right, right? So they fucking, whatever, they anoint me, whatever the fuck it is. And I'm a little boy now, which means I have to go to the parties and I have to hug each other at 10, 12 and sing a song. Please. So I go to a couple things, but it's not really my whole thing. And then one night I have a party. My mom goes to Miami, and I have a party. But you know me. I invited everybody. I invite gangsters from Union City.
Oh, shit.
I invite Spanish kids from West New York. Okay. I invite basketball players. I invite the fucking the dirty white fucking killers.
Not them.
Yes. I invited those motherfuckers from downtown. Billy Olson, those guys. Billy Olson had no teeth at 14 from smoking cigarettes.
Oh, God.
And he would fucking, all he had was stubs. And he would put the cigarette in the stub and leave it there in between his teeth. Tremendous. So I have this party. And I have this party. I invite everybody. There's almost a fight. And about a week later, I hear the little boys want to throw you out of the little boys. Because you, when you had that party, you invited everybody. It was supposed to be a little boy party. Just the original 16 members. Like I'm fucking one of the apostles.
It sounds so creepy hearing it now.
Oh my God. Little creepy boy. As shit. Creepy as shit. So they threw me out and I didn't give a fuck.
You, but I was like, what the fuck
and is that? And they declared war on me.
Oh no.
All right. They like wanted to beat me up. So one day I go to Hashways to get mescaline and that one Burkle kid walks across the street. And I was friends with Jimmy Burkle.
Okay.
The guy who saved my life and took me to Colorado.
Yeah.
He had a young brother, Ron Burkle.
Uh-oh.
Who thought he was a fucking tough guy. And one day he comes over and pushes my bike and we push each other and shit and nothing happens. But they had to take sides. So Glenn Conti took a side.
Yeah.
Steve Avillo took a side. And Lubes told those motherfuckers to suck their dick. And they couldn't believe it. They had a big talk. They couldn't believe it. You're doing this over a spick. But that's the way things worked out.
Whoa.
So they took a chance for me. So till the end of time, I take a chance for them. Now you know why I talked to Lubes today. Now you know why I talked to Steve Avillo today. Glenn Conti, poor guy, he's hanging out with Joel Osteen. So you don't want to talk to me no more.
Could someone please animate that whole story about all the little boys? That is my favorite thing you've ever told.
Unbelievable. You, like, so I fucking hated that shit since I was a kid. I didn't want to be part of fucking dick since I was a kid.
And why do they
you want to hang out?
Why can't they be the big boys? Why are they like the little?
The big boys with their older brothers. Another bunch of fucking jackals. Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable. And they weren't a criminal fucking organization. They just did it to order beers and drink beers. When they found that I was a criminal, they fucking went nuts.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, what were their dads called?
The fucking scumbags of debt. Today, I want you to... Do you have any honor at the fucking house, cocksucker?
No.
You got to get some honor at the house. Okay. Enough with this shit. You got to get some shroom tick and get the party started. You're looking a little thin and pale today. Oh, I love honor. Honor's always been there for me. I went to jiu-jitsu yesterday. I took the shroom tech sport. I had energy yesterday. Even John Evans said to me, your breathing is a lot fucking better. So please, people, if you're going to consider getting healthy or you want to add some fucking strength or you want to fucking make your workouts more efficient, go to Onnit and see what they got to offer. They got from the best protein powder out there, Hemp Force, to Shroom Tech, to Strong Bone, to New Mood. You know, click on to Onnit.com, read what they have. They have kettlebells and ropes and all that stuff, and that's fine and dandy, but it all starts with what you put in your body. You know, they have the Turnaround 180. They have the fucking Alpha Brain, which is the best stuff on the market. They just made some announcement. I mean, they keep retesting it and refining it. You know, I'm on the Alpha Brain cycle right now. That's why I'm wide awake. I'm fixing it. I got a good night's sleep after acupuncture. I'm not going to lie to you people. Go with fucking Onnit. Go to Onnit.com right now. See what they got. Start with Alpha Brain. Get the little jar. Give it a sample. It's a money-back guarantee. I don't know if you know, guys know that. I don't know if you mentioned it. Do me the favor. Go to Onnit.com. See what they got. Trust me what I'm telling you, bro. I've been staying fucking healthy with them for about a year and a half now. I love what they fucking got to offer. Go to Onnit. If you want to order something, use my bucks. Get 10% off. They also have a Stay Onnit program where they'll mail you stuff right to your house the first of the month. 10% off. The 10% I give you is 20% off. You'll be saving fucking Gitas from now to fucking the end of time. Go to Onnit. Press in.
Church.
In the box. C-H-U-R-C-H. And get 10% off, and they'll know that you're hanging out with me and everything's fucking copacetic, all right? Dollar Shave Club, I can't tell you about this anymore. I can't keep telling you. I got 1,000 fucking million satisfied fucking people because it's all about price and customer fucking service. And that's what I'm bringing you, cocksuckers. Do you have to get in your car and go get a razor and stand there and it's in the shower? Fuck all that shit. This comes right to your house. Bam! You don't have to leave the house. You don't got to do dick. All you got to do is go to fucking dollarshaveclub.com and press what package you want. Whether you want the fucking four razors with the doubles, or you want the four razors with the triple, whether you want the fucking cocoa butter for your face, whether you want the one wipe Charlie for your asshole and your nutsack. It's getting hot right now. Humidity season's coming. You don't want to walk around with stinky fucking nutsacks. If anything, somebody bumps into you, you want your balls to taste like peppermint. It's like a Tic Tac, a big fucking Tic Tac. Trust me, I'm telling you, go to Dollar Shave Club today. Right now while we're fucking talking, go on the website. They got price packages from $1 to $6 to $9 a month. Have you looked to see what a package of razors costs you? A lot more than $9 a month.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Go to Dollar Shave Club right now. Stop fucking around. Even if you can't, $6. Six times fucking 12 months is $72. Okay? $72 a year to have your shave products. How many fucking times are we going to go over this with this shit with you people? Knock it off. Knock it the fuck off. Go to Dollar Shave Club right now, today. Don't fuck around and pick a fucking, and you're not going to be, I'm telling you, even the razor handle, you could throw it. You could break fucking car windows with it. You could do anything you want. You could hit somebody in the fucking head with it. You could shove it up their ass. I don't care what the fuck you do. Go to Dollar Shave Club today. $1, $6, and $9. What are you putting the code?
Church.
Church. And get the fucking program, and they know what's crack-a-lacking. That's it. NailedItLife.com again. They came down last week smoking fucking dabs and vapors and I don't know what they fucking got. The vapor pen is solid as fuck. It's the best in the market. I got one. I use it to smoke the fucking vapor. I'm not smoking the wax no more. That's a personal reference, not because I don't like it. I'm trying to take care of my fucking lungs. Where's the water, Lee? You got me over here you got me over here like a fucking camel in the Sahara. I'm all right.
Okay.
All right. So nailedatlife.com. Go on there. If you order a vapor pen, you get 20% off. You put Joey Diaz in the box, 20 fucking percent off. Right. That's how they roll, all right? Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? Now, let me tell you this. This I got to say for you people, just so you know.
Yeah, I need it.
This is for the professional stoners. Naturesbox.com. That's all I got to say. Get the plantain chips. Get the fucking...
They give some pistachios.
The spicy pistachios, guys.
I didn't get
again, pistachios. You get dick because you don't come over. If you would have came over for the edibles, like you were supposed to, I would have given you a bag. But you get ugats. The other day, I had the poppy seed sticks, like sesame sticks. Guys, listen, they're tremendous fucking healthy snacks. But some of the shit they have is completely off the chain. Whether it's the black and white granola, the apple figs, the fucking plantains, and I'm Cuban. I'm Cuban, bitches. I've been eating plantains for, 50 fucking years? These little plantains were so delicious, I ate the whole bag. I didn't even save one for my wife. Go to naturesbox.com. You get 50% off your first order. That's right. You heard it right. 50 motherfucking percent off your first order. All they got to press is
Joey
in the fucking box. 50% off your first order. And then they come after that every month. Read the fine print. Do all that shit. It don't matter. The snacks are so fucking good. Plus, the nutritionists approve. They're healthy. Trust me, I wouldn't fucking bullshit you, especially all you fucking reefer heads out there. Go to naturesbox.com. What are they pressing the box?
Joey.
What the fuck is my... What's with the stuttering today, Lee?
I don't know.
It's dude. Passover. You going to go to temple today? What are you going to do? How are you going to act when you get there? Tell me something good.
I don't know, dude. Ah, fuck.
Ah, what, Lee? You got to get it together. No more of this shit. And that's it. The pre-sale on the shirts, it's over.
Oh.
The patches are in. They're fucking gorgeous. The mugs are in. Show them a mug. You want to drink coffee at the office? You got to have a cool mug. Represent the church of what's happening now, all right? I don't want you to buy a fucking $25 shirt. $6.99 for the mug, and you represent. It all fucking helps out. You know, we don't even make nothing because it all goes to fucking taxes, those fucking thieves. I seen what I had to pay yesterday.
Yeah, fuck.
Jesus Christ. But you got to pay them, people. What are you going to do? It's like the mafia. Only got to pay it to the, you know, you can pay them online. You can pay the mafia on fucking line. Can you believe that? And I'll tell you what, people, if you don't pay your taxes, it's going to creep up on you. I let it creep up for years on me, and they almost caught up, and I went to them before. I didn't file taxes for close to fucking 12 years.
Damn.
Something like that. So please, people, take care of it. Call the IRS. Say you want to go down there and talk to them. They don't go back. They only go back 7 years. You're not going to get in trouble. You're not going to go to jail. Don't walk around with that. If any, I used to do that shit, procrastinate all the time. I don't fucking do it no more. Take care of this fucking little thing. They're going to be there. They're there forever. They don't disappear. They will show up. I just got hit with a fucking school loan.
Bastard.
we had to pay from fucking 30 years ago. They don't show up. They come out of the woodwork. So please, next thing you know, they're taking money. You guys have no idea what it is to get money taken out of your check. Have you ever got money taken out of your check?
Other than regular taxes, no.
You have no idea. When somebody puts a garnishment on you and you go to your bank account, you're eating dinner and you go to pay and your card comes back not valid.
That sucks.
And you go to the bank and they have a fucking thing. Somebody took $1,000 out of your bank account and you can't figure out what it was, and it's fucking child support or, you know, IRS. IRS will go in your fucking bank account, bro.
I bet.
And they didn't go in my bank account. When I had the problem with the child support, she would see me on TV. She would try to raise the fucking thing so Boulder would lock up the fucking payments. You have no idea what I went through with that stupidity. So take care of your paperwork so they don't lock up your shit.
I mailed in a check.
Did you mail in your check?
Yeah.
I heard you were high and fuck is the post office
leave. I was walking around for 40 minutes. I the one I go to has meters. I was like, okay, 15 minutes will be enough. I wanted to put it on it so I could track it because I'm nervous about that getting done. It wasn't open yet, but you could go inside. And I walked around for so long trying to get the right stickers. I was there for 40 minutes.
That's good. You gotta get the guy. I need for you to do me another favor. So you're going to Israel with your mom next year and your brother, and you're paying for all this? You're having a good time? Yeah. How long are you going for?
I don't know, probably a week.
Good for you guys.
No, it's not for over a year.
And you're going to get along with your brother? You hope you'll try?
Well, during the trip, we'll have to, yeah.
Good. You know, man, give it a shot. If it doesn't work after Israel, then you move on with your life.
Yeah.
Right? You know, have you talked to him since that night with the fucking Twitter?
No.
Did he win the contest?
I have no idea.
Call him up. See if he won. Say, how do you feel, cocksucker? Next time you need Lee. Nah, don't say that to your brother. Just, you know, you don't want something to happen to your mom and you not talk to this fucking knucklehead.
Right.
That's, you know what I'm saying? That's the other thing. You always want to be at least civil with him, you know, and then someday he'll come out here and see what your world is about. You'll show him what you're, he'll have you doing some jumping jacks. I'm sure he loves that. You're a fucking animal. Look at the shape of you, you bad motherfucker. Stop scratching your head. Sit up straight. Put your headphones on straight. You got them covering up. You're deflecting the fucking sun here. You're looking good. You're a sharp motherfucker. I love you cocksuckers. I'm nowhere this weekend. I'm with Joe Rogan in Orlando. Next weekend, I'm with fucking Joe Rogan in Baltimore. And the week after that, I'm with Joe Rogan in Santa Barbara. That's how I'm doing it for the next 3 weeks. I ain't pushing nothing. They're already sold out. So you do what you need to fucking do. Me and Lee are at the Ice House April 30th for a live podcast. We got a great guest. Lee's t-shirts are on sale.
Thank you.
JewRadio.net.
LeeSayed.com.
LeeSayed.com. And JoeyDiaz.net is always here for you, whether you want to send an email or just talk about something or whatever the fuck you want to do, order something, whatever. Get tickets. Everything is on there. What'd you learn this week, Lee Cocksuck? Anything good? What'd you learn?
I learned office hunting is tough.
Okay.
And
you only went to two fucking things, Cocksuck.
No, but it's hard to find one in like this specific area.
Fuck these people, bro.
And then what else?
You don't learn nothing.
No. Well, no.
Eat breakfast before you take an edible. That's the fucking word of the day, okay? Happy Passover to everybody. I love you guys. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next Monday and Wednesday. Same bat time, same bat motherfucking channel. Get it together today. You only got one shot at this. Make them all suck your dick.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/church or just go to joeydiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. Also, remember to go to naturebox.com and order great tasting healthy snacks at 50% off. Snack smarter in the new year with healthy and delicious treats like French toast granola. Support this podcast and get 50% off of your first order. Go to naturebox.com and use promo code Joey. That's naturebox.com, promo code Joey.
Hit it. Oh shit. Thank you for listening this week, guys. Have a great week. Take this to the motherfucking bank. What?
Well, fake niggas don't make it back. I don't know how to start this. Rappers are monkey flipping with the funky rhythm. I be kicking, musician, inflicting composition of pain. I'm like Scarface sniffing cocaine, holding an M16. See with the pen, I'm extreme. Now bullet holes left in my peak holes. I'm suited up with street clothes. Hand
Emmy and nine and out, defeat foes. Y'all know my steelo, with or without the airplay. I keep some E and J, sitting bent up in the stairway. Or either on the corner, betting grants with the CeeLo champs. Laughing at bass heads, trying to sell some broken amps. G-packs get off quick, forever niggas talk shit. Reminiscing about the last time the task force flipped. Niggas be running through the block shooting. Time to start the revolution, catch a body head for Houston. Once they caught us off guard, the Mac-10 was in the grass. And I ran like a cheetah with thoughts of an assassin. Picked the Mac up, told brothers back up, the Mac spit. Lead was hitting niggas, one ran, I made a backflip. Heard a few chicks scream, my arms shook, couldn't look. Gave another squeeze, heard it click. Yo, my shit is stuck, tried to cock it, it wouldn't shoot, now I'm in danger. Finally pulled it back and saw three bullets caught up in the chamber. So now I'm jetting to the building lobby, and it was full of children, probably couldn't see as high as I be. It's like the game ain't the same. Got younger niggas pulling the triggers, bringing fame to their name and claim some corners. Crews without guns and corners, in broad daylight, stick up kids, they run up on us. Four fives and gauges, max and fat, same niggas that catch you back to back. Snatching your cracks in black. Yo, was a snitch on the block, getting niggas knocked. So hold your stash till the coke price drop. I know this crackhead who says she gotta smoke nice rock. And if it's good, you bring your customers and measuring plots. But yo, you gotta slide on a vacation. Inside information keeps large niggas erasing and they wives basing. It drops deep as it does in my breath. I never sleep, cause sleep is the cousin of death. Beyond the walls of intelligence, life is defined. I think of crime when I'm in a New York state of mind. State of mind. Your state of mind. Your state of mind. Your state of mind. Your state of mind. We have dreams that I'm a gangster. Drinking Moet's, holding texts. Making sure the cash came correct, then I stepped. Investments in stock, sewing up the box to sell rocks. Winning gunfights with mega cops, but just a nigga. Walking with his finger on the trigger. Make enough figures until my pockets get bigger. I ain't the type of brother made for you to start testing. Give me a Smith & Wesson, I have niggas undressing. Thinking of cash flow,
food and shelter. Who gives a fuck? Get up, eat your oatmeal, do some jumping jacks.
My blend tape plays, bullets are strays. Young bitches is crazy. Each block is like a maze full of black rats trapped. Plus the Allen is packed. From what I hear in all the stories when my peoples come back black, I'm living where the nights is jet black. The fiends fight to get crack. I just max. I dream I could sit back and lamp like Capone. With drug strips on, all the legal luxury life. Rings flooded with stones, homes. I got so many rhymes, I don't think I'm too sane. Life is parallel to hell, but I must maintain it be prosperous. Though we live dangerous, cops could just arrest me, blaming us for hell like hostages. It's only right that I was born to use mics, and the stuff that I write is even tougher than dice. I'm taking rappers to a new plateau. Through rap slow, my rhyming is a vitamin, hell without a capsule. The smooth criminal on beat breaks. Never put me in your box if your shit eats tape. The city never sleeps, full of villains and creeps. That's where I learned to do my hustle, had to scuffle with freaks. I'm an addict for sneakers, 20s a Buddha and bitches with beepers. In the streets I could greet ya, about blunts I teach ya. Inhale deep, like the words in my breath. I never sleep, cause sleep is the cousin of death. I lay puzzle as I backtrack to earlier times. Nothing's equivalent to the New York state of mind. State of mind. State of mind. Your state.